When you turn away from Almighty God, you are making the biggest mistake in your life. You're turning away from the one who rules and reigns, who owns, possesses, who knows you perfectly, who knows every need before it comes about, who can heal you of all diseases, who can strengthen you, provide for you every single thing you need, far more than any of us could ever deserve. That's who He is. Why would you want to serve anything or anybody else?
Is this a tough day? The good news is, if you're a believer, you can lean on God no matter what you face. And that's our emphasis today on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. His message is based on the Old Testament book of Isaiah, which assures us that the Lord is more than adequate to meet every need. Here's part two of Our God of Comfort.
Well, no matter who you are, whether young or old, no matter what you're going through in life, there are times when all of us need the same thing. Because whatever the situation may be, there are times in our life when we need to be comforted. We need to be encouraged. We need to know that somebody cares, that somebody's sort of looking out after us, and that we amount to something, and we're important to somebody, somewhere, somehow, especially when this distress has brought us down to the point of almost depression. Well, there is one chapter in the Bible that exceeds all the rest of them when it comes to a description of Almighty God, who is our great comforter. So I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And what I would like for us to do is I would like, in the light of what we have just said, I would like for us to look at this chapter in the light of who God is. Because if I were to ask you who He is, you could give me some reasonable explanation from your mind who He is. But the issue is this: what is He really like? For example, if I needed somebody to comfort me, I would want to know several things. I'd want to know where they're from and what's going on in their life and how much do they understand and can they really and truly comfort me? Are they just telling me something they've heard? Are they telling me something they've experienced? How much real knowledge do they have about comforting? Here is the comforter of all comforters. So I want you to follow me. And if you happen to be at home or wherever you may be with a Bible, get your Bible out. Turn to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Get a pencil if you might. And I want you to go through this with me because you will need it. And what you and I need in times of hurt and pain and sorrow and distress, we need to know who is this we're going to and can He truly help me? And when you read this passage and you understand who this God is, you can come to Him with confidence and assurance in your life, this God of mine is going to see me through this. So let's begin in verse 21. Do you not know and have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning, reminding us? Listen to this now. Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Listen to this. Maybe a shock to you. Verse 22. It is He, God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. God isn't impressed by man's pride and arrogance and accomplishments. And He says, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Then He says, it is He who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. So here's what happens. Oftentimes people, you know, they start out with a humble spirit, and then watch this, and then they begin to be successful, and God begins to bless them, and more success, until finally they get where they're no longer usable. God hates pride. And what does He say? Man has no reason to be prideful because God removes the prideful ones. He removes rulers. And notice what else He says here. He says, He makes them as meaningless, scarcely. And then He says, for example, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless? And you think about judges today, whether it's Supreme Court or whatever judges, who have all of this power delegated to them, authority to make decisions that affect every single one of us. God says, you want to know what my opinion of that is? Here's what He says. Verse 23, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless? Scarcely have they been planted like a plant. Scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. What is he saying? God does not recognize the prideful reactions of man. He does not recognize status and position and power that ignores him. In a split second, he can take them away. And you think, for example, rulers who've come and who've been worshiped by other people, and all of a sudden, they're gone. How long are they remembered? Oh, they may put their epitaph on something, or they may inscribe something in a tomb, or whatever it might be, but the truth is they're gone. And their power's gone. And what happens? It's like gone with the wind. The God wipes them out. He says, the truth is, they are so tender and so uncertain, they're like a plant you stuck in the ground, and it hardly took root, and God blew it away. And then watch this. He says in verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. I love being out in the wilderness because I love that I can look up in the sky when there is no light anywhere around. And here's what happens. When you do that and there's no light around, it's like at first you see some stars and then a few more. And the longer you look, the more you see. And then at some point, it looks like they're all coming down on you. Anytime you think you're somebody, you just walk out and lie down and look up and you'll realize, you know what? One drop of water in the ocean may be more like what I really am. That's this awesome God. And he says he's put them out there. It's interesting in the creation story when he talks about the sunlight and he says, as if it were an afterthought, and the star, he made the stars also. And look how he uses the stars. Now the world says, well, you know, if you're this or that in your horoscope, that's a bunch of stuff. There's not, you better put your faith in the God who made the stars, not in those who are trying to interpret them and use them for something that God never intended. Now listen to this. He says he created these stars, and one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them's missing. Now look, God says, every single star is numbered, and they're all in their place. Imagine getting on your knees before a God who's got them all numbered, who knows them all by name, who keeps them in their orbit. He says, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? He said, in light of who he is, how could you think that God didn't hear you? How could you think that somehow you can keep some secret from God? You know why? Because oftentimes we don't realize where God is. We think about God being up yonder or out yonder. Let me ask you a question. If somebody said to you, where is God? What would be your first reaction? You'd say, what? He's in heaven, right? Now, you think I'm going to trick you. Come on. If somebody says, where's God? What would you normally say? He's in heaven. Is that the correct answer? Yes, it is. Now, watch this. Yes, it is. He is in heaven, but he's also in my heart. He lives in the heart of every single believer. So think about this. Living within you is this God whom we are in the process of describing. And you're afraid of what? You're worried about what? What can affect you apart from the knowledge and the power of God? Nothing on the face of this earth. Does that mean that he'll not let things come our way that hurt us? Doesn't say that. But he's there as God. Do you not know and have you not heard? Listen to this now. Verse 28, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired, and his understanding is inscrutable. Think about this. God is never without a job. He's always employed. Doing what? Working in your life, my life, and the life of those who are wicked, and the life of those who are believers. And notice he says, he's never weary or tired. And have you ever thought to yourself, I'm sure I've said this, God, I know you get tired of hearing me come to you with this same situation or whatever it might be. God does not tire. Listen, if He is infinite, He is infinite in wisdom and knowledge, energy, strength, power. Something has to go on that there's an energy leak, not with God. And so He says, do not become weary. He does not become weary, and His understanding is inscrutable, which means you'll never be able to fully comprehend. Now, with that in mind, listen to the promise that He gives us on the basis of who He is. So we've spent most of our time talking about who He is. Now listen to what He says. Verse 29, He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. That is, when we get into those distressful, painful times in life, He says He's the one to give us strength. And you think about this. Pain de-energizes us. Stress, depression, those things, they sap our energy and our strength. We don't have the get up and go that we'd like to have because of whatever may be going on in our life. Now, sometimes God may take away your strength in order to teach you how to replace it with His strength. Sometimes God takes away material things in order to give us spiritual things. And sometimes because He doesn't react to my instantaneous request, God, here's what I need, and I need it now, Lord. And you know the calendar says this, and the clock says this, and the watch says this. And you know what? He's unmoved by that. And what's He doing? He's waiting for His timing. And sometimes He's waiting for us to get so desperate we can't depend upon ourselves or anybody but Him. That's when He does His most awesome work in our life. It's not that He's tired. It's not that He's not listening. It's not that He doesn't care. It is the fact that He wants in the process of teaching us and growing us up. Because remember, we're the only ones who are going to worship Him, His followers. He's not concerned about mountains and trees and fish, and He's not concerned about oceans and lakes or anything else. He's concerned about you and me worshiping Him. So He's going to work in our life in such a fashion to do what? To bring us to Him and to recognize that He's the source of our strength. And so He delights to do that, and because He doesn't answer every time we think He ought to, we say, well, where is God? And then listen to this. The next time you have a feeling of saying, God, where are you? Open your ears and see if you can't hear Him say, right where I've always been, right in your heart. If you will listen to me, if you will seek me, if you will ask why I'm allowing this to happen in your life. And so what happens is He delays for His own benefit. The second thing I want you to notice, He gives strength to the weary, to him who lacks might, He increases power. So that if I'm down for whatever the situation may be, I have Him to go to, and He's ready to do whatever we need for Him to do for us. Though youth grow weary and tired, we all do. Vigorous young men stumble badly. Those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. Now, He says, all of us are going to stumble and fall at times, and whatever the situation may be. Not necessarily talking about sin there, but emotionally, we feel the weight sometime. And physically, we're not up to what we can be. And as I said the other day, for about 10 days or so there, I couldn't walk very well, and it slowed me down. And my energy level wasn't there, but I had the same responsibilities, and more so because I had to speak every day, but the energy wasn't there, and the strength was not there. And I had to keep crying out to God to show me, Lord, what are you doing? And He did show me. And I can look back and say, God, you knew exactly what you were doing. I thought you weren't listening there for a few minutes. I told Him all about what I had to do and why He should give me energy right now and heal me right now. He wasn't listening to any of that. You know why? Because He had a higher purpose than healing me at the moment. So He says, though youth grow weary and tired, vigorous men stumble badly. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Now, when He says wait for Him, what does that mean? It means I must be patient while I persistently pursue whatever He's called me to do. Persistently pursue that. Be patient for Him to work in His way, in His timing, because He will. God will never show up late. He's never going to show up tired. He's never going to say, oh, I'm not answering the phone today. Doesn't have to pull out a calculator to find out how much you and I owe or what we're going to do financially. None of that. But listen to this next phrase. He says, though youth grow weary and tired, Vigorous men stumble badly. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Somebody said, wait a minute, this eagle business. I heard what you said about eagles having wings 6 to 8 feet. They can dive at 100 miles an hour and eyes that can see a mile and 40 miles away another eagle. I've heard all that. I don't have any wings. So what do I do? So is that a mistake?
No.
Because the truth is, every single child of God has a set of wings. Now, I'm not talking about flaps. Here's your set of wings. Your set of wings is your faith in this God. That's your set of wings, because here's what happens. You rise in your life on the basis of your faith. You succeed on the basis of your faith. You're able to accomplish and to achieve on the basis of your faith. God works in you, for you, and through you on the basis of your faith. And what happens? When you're down and you're tired and you're worn, and maybe it's physical pain or whatever it might be, and what happens? You begin to exercise your faith and you begin to trust God. What does He do? He lifts you. He gives you energy. He responds. Listen, God is a responder to our faith. He's a responder to our faith. And the next thing you know what? We're not down in the mouth about anything. We're not complaining and moaning and groaning. And we're up and moving and God is blessing. And what happens? You just begin to fly. And now what are you doing? You are maybe in the same circumstance, but you're not hindered by it. And what are you doing? You are soaring above it. And that's why He used this phrase. He says, you'll mount up with wings like eagles and soar above it all. And you know, storms, for example, eagles love storms. And here's the reason. Storms enable them to do what? To fly higher and higher and higher. They're just floating on those air currents. And the stronger they are and the higher they are, the higher they can fly and the stronger they can be and the faster they can fly. And sometimes it's the storms in your life and my life that God uses to do what? To build our faith, to get us, look, up on a higher level of living than we've been living. He lets us go through something to demonstrate His awesome power in our life and to teach us to trust Him and to follow Him. And then if you'll notice what He says, they will run and not get tired and they'll walk and not become weary. Now, what is He talking about? It doesn't mean that you and I will never get physically tired, because sometimes we do. Here's what it means. There are situations and circumstances in life that are sort of monotonous. In other words, listen, as long as there's excitement and as long as there's pressure, it's amazing how we can keep going. But when there is no excitement and there is no pressure and you're doing the same thing day after day after day after day, here's what He says. He will enable us to pursue what He would have us to do in life, whatever it might be, and the monotony is gone. Listen, He says, we will run and not get tired. We'll walk and not become weary, which means we will walk and not faint. We won't give up. We won't give up because things aren't exciting. We won't give up because we're not being complimented. We won't give up because we're not making as much as we ought to make. We're going to keep moving because we have the capacity to exercise our faith and do what? To soar above it all. God wants us to soar, not sit. He wants us to rise above whatever we face. Why? Because look, in most of those verses, we talked about how awesome He is. And He gave us all that truth about Himself, the most truth about Himself of any chapter in the Bible. It's awesome. God says, here's who I am. And because I'm who I am, you can run and not be weary. You won't give up. Doesn't mean you won't be tired. You won't give up. You won't quit. And besides that, when you exercise your faith, you'll come out of it, you'll soar above it, and you will succeed in whatever I've called you to do.
You're listening to In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. God is our great comforter. The prophet Isaiah describes it best when he says, as a mother comforts her child, so I, the Lord, will comfort you. He is always there in your failures, difficulties, and heartaches to assist, encourage, and stand by you in your pain. How do you know for sure that God has forgiven you? And how can you extend forgiveness to those who have hurt you? Visit our website, intouch.org, and search for forgiveness to access clear teaching from God's Word. And if you go to the bookstore page, you can order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, Our God of Comfort. Again, you'll find these resources at intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. Do you consider yourself to be a sinner or a saint? Stay with us for today's Moment with Charles Stanley, coming up.
As we at In Touch honor the fathers in our lives, we also want to recognize men everywhere who strive to be the kind of dads their children need them to be. Men who seek to imitate our Father in heaven, teaching and encouraging their children with unconditional love. At intouch.org/store, you'll find a special selection of resources that make the perfect Father's Day present. For a gift that says thank you on Father's Day, visit intouch.org/store.
Explore Alaska with In Touch Ministries, Dr. Stanley, and guests, July 25th through August 1st. Call 855-663-5252 or visit intouch.org/Alaska. Dr. Stanley often says, obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Our free Life Principles magnet features a beautifully crafted design of this inspiring quote. For your free Life Principles magnet, go to intouch.org.
When you surrender your life to Christ, you give up a lot, like slavery to sin. Here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
The power of sin has been broken. We are no longer slaves to sin. Because before we were slaves, now we have been freed. Not from the presence of sin, it's there. But it cannot enslave us. It cannot overpower us. It can only exercise power in our life only when you and I willingly choose to violate the law of God, because sin's power in our life has been broken once and for all. The old man within us, the old wicked, vile self, was nailed to the tree. And if that's been nailed to the tree, we've been buried and risen and sitting in the heavenlies and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have been freed. Listen. We have been freed from the dominion that is the dominating enslavement of sin, so that no single believer ever has to disobey God unless he or she chooses to do so. I did not say that you would not. I did not say that you would not be tempted. I did not say that you would not fall. I didn't even say that you wouldn't want to sin. I said you don't have to. Because God has done something in the past to totally separate us from the life that we once lived. Now, we walk around calling ourselves sinners. We ought to walk around calling ourselves saints. Now, think about this for a moment. Here we are, the children of God. He did for us spiritually what He did for Christ. Crucified, buried, risen, walking in newness of life, seated in the heavenlies. Spiritually, all those things are true facts. Listen, not feelings, facts. These are the things that Almighty God says He has done in your life and my life.
It's easier to live a godly life when we know who we are in Christ. Find out more about what God says is true of every believer at intouch.org. Would you like to hear today's message again? You can stream it on our website or download podcasts and take In Touch with you. Our web address again is intouch.org. And if today's program has prompted you to consider how you could share the grace of God with others, please let us know. Tomorrow, Dr. Stanley's message is focused on parents. Be back with us Friday as he wraps up our week of teaching on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through your faithful prayers and gifts.